Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure if I ever even made a model. And I told him so, but he was convinced that I should make this model for him because he had a broken finger. And I told him I was worried, and he said there was instructions and it's easy. So I figured, yeah, all right, if he's going to give me some free D&D books, I'll humor the guy, I'll build his model. So I took his model, and it was this, like, Japanese robot thing, a Gundam or some crap like that. I don't know. I don't know Japanese robot stuff. And I opened the box, and I immediately regretted my decision. There were so many freaking parts to this thing. Oh, I'm not kidding, man. Like hundreds, if not millions of pieces. And I didn't know which ones were for which thing. And some of them had a label on them that looked like it was supposed to connect to like slot B, but the B looked like an 8. So I ended up gluing the guy's arm to his face where his face laser thing should have been. And it took me all freaking day. And when it was done, it looked nothing like the picture on the box. Oh God, it was a nightmare. Literally. This was my nightmare, and I've been scared to go back to sleep because I'm worried the guy is going to find me and ask me where his model is. So I've been up for 4 days straight, and I've been drinking lots of root beer to stay awake. Did that answer your question?
I didn't ask a question, but yeah, we can. Oh. Yeah, we can. that was very okay. Interesting.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. That was, I guess, you could cut that out or whatever.
Yeah, we'll fix it in the edit. Don't worry.
All right. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's good to see the tech dweeb hands.
Yeah. Yeah. My hands are more famous than any other part of me, I guess, except my shirt, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
It's a shirt.
They are the most specialist hands on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. They look an awful lot like Russ's hands, interestingly enough.
Yeah, very strange. And we'll get into that later. But yeah, I've had a lot of questions about your hands and Russ, funny enough.
All right, we'll dance around the issue later then.
Yes, we shall. So I wanted to start the episode by asking you just to like update us, like what's happening in Tech Dweeb's life? What's been going on? Are you still living in your mom's basement? All that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've lived with mom since I was a little kid, so I'm not about to stop now. And, you know, I got to take care of mom.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting on in years, and, you know, it's kind of a running joke with us, like, oh, Tech Dweeb still living in his mom's basement. But, you know, if I didn't, I'd be over here all the time making sure she's all right and checking on her, taking her out to go buy antiques or whatever. Yeah, actually, we've been buying lots of antiques. That's what we've been up to.
Nice.
We've been going to take mom out to antique stores. I'm always kind of low key on the hunt for like retro games or anything that's nerdy. Mm-hmm. So rarely do I find anything. But she's been collecting cups, like vintage cups.
Okay.
We call them old lady glasses. And
okay.
We found this one store near us, and that's where she is right now, actually. She's out there trying to butter up the lady who owns it to try to get a good deal on these glasses, because they got so many freaking cups and glasses. Really, really nice ones that are just the kind we've been looking for.
All right. Nice. Got to look after your mom, eh?
Yeah, that's what I tell myself. It also saves... It also saves some money, you know, not having to buy houses and whatever, cars and food, the laundries, not have to buy your laundry, the cleanings.
The laundry cleanings.
Yes. I think everybody should do it. It's it's a great way to live.
It's kind of, seriously, it is kind of like the way of the future. So many people are staying with their parents as long as they can too, because the cost of living is so high, property is so high, rental is so high. So
yeah. It's actually like, it's funny how it's sort of a new thing, but it's also a very old thing.
Yes.
You know,
it's how we used to live in the olden times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm all for it. I'm all for families that love each other being together. If you don't love your family, I guess it's not as good. Maybe you would just sort of be like roommates in that situation. You know, you'd have like rules about who's allowed to whatever, use the kitchen at what time.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to spend time together, but it's still a good idea regardless.
Well, communal living, you know, I think boundaries are important. I know a family that do kind of live together like that, and they have very strict boundaries.
It's good. You can pool your resources, you know, like if one guy has a barbecue, you don't need a barbecue because you could use his barbecue.
Exactly.
And if you have a Miu Mini, he'll be borrowing your Miu Mini, and then you'll need a second Miu Mini because he's always borrowing yours, and it's an excuse to buy more Miu Minis.
Yes.
So it just works out good for everybody.
Yes. Buy more Miu Minis. I gave my one to my friend, so I bought myself a purple one.
Oh, that's a good buddy.
Actually, go.
Did you deck it all out for him and like get it all ready?
I did.
Put all the best games on it.
I did. I was going to give him the 353 VS for Christmas, but the screen bombed out. And so Go Game Geek was sending me this one anyway. So I gave him that one and I did Onion OS. I put all my favorite games on. Then I asked him, what do you like? I know he was a PS1 fan. Sorry, I'm rambling a bit. But he loves it. Well, I think he loves it. It was kind of thrust upon him. I was like, you will enjoy this.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes you need to do that. You need to recognize that somebody would like a thing and just shove it in their hands and be like, I don't care what you say. You're playing with this thing.
Exactly.
You're going to play Final Fantasy VII and you're not going to stop until you've passed this part of the game. And then after you've passed that, then you can stop.
Exactly.
But I think you're not going to stop because you're going to have lots of fun.
Yeah. I keep saying it's because now, and we'll talk about that just now as well, about the Steam Deck, and my family's like, wow, that's amazing. And then my friend is also like, wow, I got her into Stray. So she started playing Stray the other day on her friends, I think can you get Stray on the Xbox?
She was, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. And she's blown away. And I said to her, don't worry. I've just got to keep going with YouTube. Everybody will have a console eventually. So eventually everyone will have a Steam Deck or something.
Yeah, that sounds like an easy thing for you to do. Provide all the people in your life with Steam Decks. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. They already have 16-bit, you know, things like this that can play the 16-bit games. So the next thing is I'll probably be able to afford to give them all Android devices. And then the next tier, well, you know, I've arrived when I give everyone Steam Decks, then you know, like the channel's doing really well.
Yeah. But by then it'll be like the Steam Deck 2 or whatever, 3.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get a new one at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to do a new design eventually. Hey?
Yeah. Well, it'll be curious to see what they eventually do. Because Valve is not known for consistency or follow through with their projects. And they've also been known to surprise us. So, we'll
see. Like the Steam Deck.
Yeah. Like the Steam Deck. And then, like the consistency thing with like the Steam machines, Half-Life 3. Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff you could criticize Valve for. But they gave us the Steam Deck and basically redeemed themselves in my mind.
Yeah, they need to follow through on it because it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone has argued that, it's not a huge success for them.
Yeah. So TechTube, the last time we spoke, it was the last quarter of last year. So it was before Christmas. I know that you were at 40,000 subscribers. I went on holiday. I came back and I was like, holy crap, this guy is steamrolling ahead. And I just checked now, I think you're at 69,000. So we just had.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we just were like, yay, 60,000. You're about to go past 70,000. How's it feeling? Like how is the work? Cause I know you've been pushing out more content. Is the workload really high, or are you just feeling like you're in the flow and in the groove now?
Yeah, I'm always in the flow. I love doing it. I love making videos. So like, it's not, it's not work or anything like that for me.
Yeah.
The success feels nice often. But there's this thing with me though, where I have trouble like acknowledging and celebrating my own success. For instance, so when I hit 50,000 subscribers, I was super happy for like 5 minutes. And then like, I almost had a panic attack. I had a hard time like grasping it. And then the thought of all those people kind of watching my stuff and relying on me to say good stuff and to be entertained. And I don't know, I put a lot of pressure on myself. And because of that, it makes the, I got to not think too hard about it. I just all I think about is making videos. That's all I want to do. That's all I do is just, I just make the videos and whatever happens, happens. And that's been the key to my success so far. But, as long it's what I love doing. So I'm just, that's all I do. And I hope it works out. And if it does, then that's good. And if not, I'll keep doing it anyway because I'm having fun.
Yes. I can totally relate because I kind of had to figure out why I couldn't get going after the holidays. So I came back and I said it to a few people how I just can't get going again. And I went onto my YouTube. The first video I posted was in February. So it really took me a long time to get back into the groove. And the main reason was like, I'd gotten a lot of compliments about the channel just before I went on holiday. You know, people were like, wow, the podcast is really lovely and all these nice things that people say. But then by the time I got back, I'd so psyched myself up because I was like, I've got to be better than I was last year and I'm not sure I can, you know? And then
that pressure that we put on ourselves, it's like, it's like a werewolf stalking you from the shadows. it's always there. And, you always feel like, you take some time off and it's like, like you said, getting back into it. For me, it happens after like 3 days. If I don't have a video, like if I see that, that day ticker that tells you how mm-hmm. long your last video was, if I see that pass over to the number three, then, oh man, it's like, it stresses me right out. And it affects the content. So I mean, it's a mental block, really. Like there is no one knocking down your door with a pitchfork saying, where's the next video? Damn it. Like they'll just watch other stuff. And you might have a little bit of a harder time, reaching the trajectory you were on before, but it's not like you go back to square one or anything. Like it's not, it really is fine. All you need is to squeeze out a couple quick videos and you're back into it, right? So
exactly,
we just gotta I guess we gotta just be easier on ourselves, really.
Well, like now I'm tricking myself, so I'm gonna do a Steam Deck video tomorrow. I haven't done any content. I'm also very busy with my work, and that's gonna be easy because all I'm gonna do is tell a story about the Steam Deck, tell people how it's been. I mean, I'm so into it right now. There's so much stuff I could talk about. So I'm just gonna do bullet points and talk to the camera. And then at least I've made a nice video. It's an interesting video and it was easy to make.
Yeah, well, you don't script any of your videos, right? Everyone knows you just do them all off the cuff.
Yes.
We all know that.
Yeah, just make it
up
as I go.
Just make it up as you go.
Oh man.
Yeah, you're just a natural.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today actually, because someone said something to that effect on a Discord, and it actually stressed me out thinking about how I used to do that. So I used to just sit down and talk, and I was like, I'm amazing. I can just talk to the camera. But now I've seen how much better my videos are when I script and when I plan and all that. So I can't do, I just can't go back to that anymore.
Yeah, you know, my last video, I did a keyboard build and I recorded it live and I edited it down. Like it was all live voice, no voiceover, no script or anything. I just literally sat down and built a keyboard and kind of joked around as I was doing it. Yes. And it turned out great.
I haven't watched it yet.
Nobody watched it. It didn't get very good views.
No, but it popped up today. I was just busy. Yeah.
It was a Wednesday evening keyboard building video. So I didn't expect it to do the huge numbers or anything. But it was a video where I didn't script it at all. And I had a great time and it turned out great. And it was like, I haven't done that in a very long time. Probably over a year. It's been since no, that's not true. There was one or two in there, but usually I just feel like, the content is better when you script it and you make sure to hit all the points. However, in the video I did where I didn't script it, there was, you know, happy accidents that happened and little jokes and things that came up.
So
that
it's
wouldn't
good to
have
do
existed.
It every now and again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you gotta hit it from every angle, and really there's no wrong way to do it. If you record yourself doing a video without any script and it works out well, you're like, oh, okay. I can do that sort of thing. So that's one tool in my utility belt of a YouTuber.
I think that's the evolution of turning it into work is the planning, but that's where you and I are similar in terms of how our brain works is like, I think the reason we got into this is because we are so good at just talking about stuff, you know? So I'm sure you started this by just talking about something and you were like, I love this. Let me keep doing it. You know, that's how it started for me as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, but also like in the same respect, like I like to write, I like to script. I like to write fun bits and I like to plan. I like to prepare fun things that are going to happen in the video and to like fantasize about like what's the most ridiculous way I could do this or to make this, this,
a little
you know,
intro
turn this into a, turn this into a bit that's going to go, you know, keep coming up. And, so like, I mean, really we're making TV shows. right?
Yes.
Here on YouTube, we're making shows, and some shows are live and have a bunch of random stuff that happens, and some shows are scripted, and it's a different thing, and both are good, fun entertainment to watch. It's just different stuff happens in each type, right?
Thinking about our last show and how much success you gained after that, it's definitely being on my show that caused all that success, isn't it?
There's no question.
Just kidding.
Things were basically stagnating, and then I come on, and all of a sudden I'm at 69,000 subscribers, and now that I'm on your show again, I'm expecting to be at around a million, at least a million, maybe more by this time, the next time we do a show. So
it's the magic of Aiden.
Yeah. Likewise, I see that your show has really taken off, and that was coincidentally when I was on. So, we're helping each other out.
Totally. Good. Touche. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
before you go on, I got to congratulate you. Your channel is doing amazing. Like I know
so.
I see that you're hard on yourself sometimes, but man, like you're flying up there. It took me lots of people don't realize like how long it was until I started getting people just watching my videos, hundreds of videos I made before I started getting any reasonable amount of traction. It took me forever to get, 1,000 subscribers back then. You needed 1,000 before you can monetize your channel. It was ages. I put in so much work to get to that point. And when I did, it was like, I'm making like pennies. It's like nothing. So, if I didn't love it, then it would have been wasted time and I would have quit, but I love it. So I stuck with it and I've found success. And so will you. And so will everybody else who does YouTube, if they try it and they do what they love and they're doing it for the right reasons, because they want to make videos, they will find success. It just takes a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Right reasons. Cause I mean, it's all good and well to approach this as a business, but if you don't want to make videos and you aren't passionate about, I think that was a huge turning point for me, was falling in love with the work rather than constantly chasing like certain technology or like trying to find something that I'm so passionate about that I can do it forever, rather focusing on how much I just love making content. And that was a huge turning point for me.
Yeah. Of all the reasons to do YouTube that people think about, very often I find that actually because they want to make videos is not very high on their list, if it's even on their list at all. Whatever reasons you might have, fame or fortune, or it looks like fun, or you want to make friends, or you want to share your opinion or help people or whatever, all of that stuff might happen or it might not. That's why those are bad reasons to do YouTube. There's only one good reason, which is to spend time doing YouTube. if you got to want to, it's sort of like that thing where if you do achieve success, if you do reach your goal, when you reach that goal, you're still just going to be making videos. Your prize is, it's sort of like that whole, a root beer drinking contest where the prize is more root beer. If you don't love making videos, then there's no point in doing it, because the only thing you'll get at the end is more life of making videos.
Yes.
If you do love making videos, then it's going to be the best time of your life. Because all of the joy, 90% of the success will come from just making videos. I hear lots of creators like that. We have a channel in my Discord server and I freaking love those guys in there. We have like a content creator channel and mostly a bunch of smaller YouTubers, and they're like talking about their tips and sharing their tricks and stuff like that. And I could tell all of them, like their heart is in the right place. Like they really care about the videos that they're making. I think when I actually look at lots of smaller YouTubers, like when they pop up on my feed on YouTube and I'm like, oh, this guy's small, let's see what he's saying. It seems like, they're not there because they like making videos. They're there for whatever other reason.
If you are a avid YouTube watcher, you can pick up on someone who's just trying to trick the algorithm. Like you can pick up on someone who's just making content that they think is going to work, you know, because I mean, I look, use provocative titles and stuff, but you know, that's not it. That's not the thing. That's not the goal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's just one of the tools in your YouTuber tool belt. But I mean, if the content isn't there, yeah, you can see it very often, not necessarily in like the retro handheld space. I think there's a lot of really, really good, genuine content creators there, but like in lots of other realms of YouTube, I see it a lot more where it's like some guy comes on and he's like starting a channel. I'm like, you're doing exactly the same thing everyone else is doing. Why are you even doing this? Like you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't. Yeah. Like, so he wants to just be a YouTuber because he wants to imitate these other YouTubers. Right. So that's not a good reason. He's not making those videos because he has a vision or whatever, because he wants to work on the craft of video making. I think it's easy to get sidetracked by, you know, the wrong motives, the wrong direction. There's so many ways you could take your content, right? So
yeah. So I actually want to segue into something you mentioned now, because you have, I didn't realize this when we first started talking. You've been very influential in the sort of smaller YouTuber space. How did that come about? Was it sort of an accidental thing through Discord? Because I also love talking to up and coming YouTubers, like getting tips from them, but then also like sharing the little bit that I've learned so far, you know. Did it kind of just happen by accident because you enjoy chatting to them?
Yeah, pretty much. So I started a Discord server, and I didn't even want to do a Discord server. At the start, I had one freaking fan who just wouldn't let it go. So I'm like, fine, I'll do a Discord server. And it's like my favorite thing now. I love my hanging out with the dweebs who choose to grace me with their presence. It's such a good, nice community. There's, I think the retro handheld tech community in general is just a bunch of awesome people, lots of funny, interesting people. So in the Discord server, I created a role called Famous YouTuber. And anytime I saw somebody who's a YouTuber, I just gave them that role.
That role.
It was just a casual thing, just for fun. Yes. And then there's like a private members only section of my Discord server for my Patreon members. And I created a Famous YouTuber's room there. Link below, they just sort of started congregating and sharing their tips and stuff. And it's just become a great little thing. I feel lucky. Like I didn't really work for it. Like everybody just kind of showed up and started talking. And I feel lucky that people wanted to talk in my little space or whatever. So I almost feel like a fly on the wall sometimes in that server, because everyone's just there being sharing awesome tips and being cool and making jokes. And I'm just like, man, I'm so glad. I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's really special what you've done there. I've been chatting to two of your sort of like up and coming crew, specifically Cliff and Crystal. I don't know if you know Cliff by his name.
I like that you called them my crew. I'll take all the credit. Thank you very much. Crystal. I watched your podcast with Crystal. Oh, you guys made me blush so many times in your
We've name dropped Tech Dweeb Hard in that episode. Sorry about that.
It was just music to my ears. You guys are such sweeties. Maybe it makes me feel like I'm hanging out, like, you know, because when you watch a podcast and you got people there and you're just listening to these people talk, it sort of feels like you're hanging out with your friends. If for whatever reason I hear my own name, it's like, oh, I'm there too. Nice. Crystal. She showed up in my Discord server and she promoted her Twitch stream. And I was, you know, I like to support people as much as possible. So when, you know, somebody makes a video or something, I obviously think I'd go watch it. That somebody made a video and they had they cared enough to go post it in my server. So obviously I'm going to like at least watch it for a little bit. And, so I stopped by her Twitch stream and she's just, you know, Crystal, like she's just so happy and bubbly and nice and welcoming. Yeah. She was like, oh, Tech Dweeb, hi, how you doing? I was just like, oh, what a sweetie. And she has such potential to do really well on YouTube because she's got such a nice voice and a great personality, and her heart's in the right place. And yeah, she can kill it. So I kind of, I kind of just tried to encourage her to, keep making videos, keep making content. And, I do the same for lots of the little guys, in my server. Yeah. Anybody really. I like to, when a new YouTuber pops up on my algorithm and I'm like, oh, I've never seen this guy before, I'll go watch their video and I'll leave a, supportive comment or whatever. Because people did that for me pretty early on. Like when somebody would leave a comment and I'd realize, oh, they're a YouTuber and they have 10,000 subscribers. I can't believe they watch my video. Whoa, it feels so nice.
I didn't even think of that. I didn't think about the fact that, maybe me messaging or commenting on someone who's got like 500 subscribers could be a big deal for them.
Yeah. Well, think about like if ETA Prime or one of the big tech YouTubers came on your channel and left a comment like, oh, great video, I like your style. That would just make your day. But more importantly, it would make you want to keep making videos. It would encourage you, and that's encouraging people to just make stuff, be creative, and put their opinions out there and stuff. If I could only ever do that, I'd be happy guy.
So I wanted to just chat about that because I think you're doing a great job with the up and coming YouTubers, and I think they really appreciate it. Like those guys, they speak so highly of you. I'm gonna screen share now the little chat, and basically the word awesome is used about 6 times. So
they really appreciate it. You're gonna make me blush. You guys are such sweeties.
All right, well, I'll ask the question and you can answer it. So, what brings you the most joy in creating these videos, these YouTube videos?
Oh, the most joy. I guess there's lots of avenues of joy. I mean, I genuinely love entertaining people. Like I've always been, I've always been an entertainer. Like in class, I didn't really have many like friends as much as I had just fans. Like I was the class clown. I was always joking and then being a goofball and just, making people laugh, making people smile. That's like I'm at my happiest when I'm doing that. But I also, I also wanted to get some good educational content out there. I like teaching people how to do stuff. So it's a chance for that too. I don't know. What else? What other reasons would you have for making?
Well, that's good enough. I think that's great. Now, I wanted to just say, when you speak about educational stuff, the stuff you've been putting out lately, it's firstly different. And you're so good at making educational stuff entertaining. And I think that really is your like sort of one of the major hallmarks of your channel.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was so easily just sidetracked and bored. If something wasn't entertaining, like there's no way I would have paid attention, or rather I paid way more attention if it was entertaining. Like if I had a teacher, my favorite teachers when I was a kid are the ones that would be cracking jokes and, putting on little engaging things that were just made something boring, entertaining. There's like a thing in with who was it? I think it was Einstein, where he said, if you can't explain it simply, then you don't understand it. And I wouldn't say that it's the same thing, but sort of similar. If you can't entertain somebody, then they're not going to listen. Yeah. You have to have a bit of a presence. So it doesn't matter how good you are explaining it or whatever. Yeah, we've all seen this a million times on YouTube when, you pull up some tutorial, like how the heck do I reset my washing machine or whatever? And there's a video and it's some guy like shaking his camera around. It's a vertical video and he can barely focus.
What the F are you doing, dude?
And he's swearing and you're like barely even shows you. And you're like, oh my God, could you just take 4 seconds and think about the viewer of your video? Also, I love interacting with the community. That's another reason that it brings me joy is when people, you know, comment or whatever. Like I'm at a size now where I can't even read all the comments, let alone reply to them, which was kind of a bummer when I reached the point where I couldn't reply to all of them. And some days, like if I take a day off of reading all the comments, there's just such a long list. It would take me like, you know, 30 minutes to go through them all or whatever. I can't keep on top of it, but I love it. I wish I could just hang out all day in my Discord server and on the comment section of the YouTube and just talk to people and give them all my time and, you know, hear what kind of cool things they're all up to. But, I've just met so many cool and nice and funny and like interesting people. I wish I could just hang out all day, but I gotta keep pumping those videos out. Because I'm addicted.
You do, indeed. You mentioned Albert Einstein, and I read this week that some people think he had ADHD.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
You've mentioned, I mean, I connect with so many of the quotes from Albert Einstein, because I am so smart, you know?
Yeah, of course. We all know that.
Obviously, genius, wonderful, special guy.
He has a beat on the mustache, though.
Totally. So, actually, quick like ADHD segue, but because someone was like, you're the only clean-shaven guy in the niche. But, I mean, according to your pictures, you're clean-shaven as well.
I got the stubble going in my pictures.
You've got some stubble. Yeah, you got stubble.
If I revealed my face, you would see that my beard is actually kind of a very sad, pathetic thing. I can never grow a proper beard. I don't even know why I'm trying. It's just kind of, same. I just don't want the baby face.
I'm an underdeveloped 44-year-old man.
Yeah. No, just call it your boyish good looks and nobody will question it.
Yes. Yes, that is the route I've gone. Yeah. Anyway, so ADHD. I think the last time we spoke, we wanted to get into this, but you haven't officially been diagnosed, but you're pretty certain you've got ADHD. Hey?
Well, no, I have been diagnosed. It's just not.
Have you?
Well,
it's sort of like, we've never spoken about this.
I'm from Canada, and we have universal healthcare, and because of that, it's hard to get a diagnosis if you don't need the support. You know, because the doctors and psychologists. If I was working in an office building or something, and I was having some struggles, and I went to my doctor and said like, "Oh, I'm struggling with this," then I could get like a doctor's note and get an official diagnosis from a doctor here in Ontario. It's hard to do that, and I wouldn't want to do that because I don't need the support. You know, I'll leave that for the people that need it more than me, just living at home, making YouTube videos. It's fine. A friend of the family, a psychologist, or a psychiatrist, I should say, I had a good long chat with her and I was talking through some of my struggles. My friend who's autistic and has ADHD, he suggested I talk to her and she helped me understand lots of the stuff that's going on with me. And, the only thing that it's ever done for me to hear it from a medical professional is just sort of, give me, it helps me be kinder on myself, not being able to, function the way that, I feel like I should in lots of situations. I don't love the term. It's a useful term for some people, because it kind of lets people know what mental, you know, struggles they're having with or what mental state they're going to come to you with. It's such a broad, like the human experience is such a broad thing that like, you know, tying it down to one little term, I don't think is really, it really tells you very much other than the most basic surface level stuff.
And people can be, for us who are experiencing it, it's very helpful, but people from the outside can use it as a very reductive term. So they will immediately just assume you're a hyperactive person who doesn't pay attention, which is true, but there's so many other aspects to it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's the good aspects too, you know. It's often seen as a disability, and it can be for lots of people. Yep. It hasn't been for me because of what I do. I think making YouTube videos is actually it's actually like a benefit. Because I don't know, but how do you feel about this, Aiden? Do you think the ADHD mindset lends itself to being a content creator on YouTube?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I have a content creation business for my day job, and then I gravitated towards this whole YouTube thing because it gives me like a laser focus for the thing that I love to do. And also the constant need for stimulation, I get to do something different every single time I create a video.
Yeah.
And so it's like I've never been able to focus on one thing for very, very long. But the YouTube thing I've been doing for years now. People don't like I had Baldly Rudy on before you, and he has been on the platform for 7 years. And he doesn't have ADHD, I don't think. I think he's just a very consistent kind of a guy. But I've been doing all sorts of things on YouTube, trying different things. And it's the one thing, even though I tried many, many different niches on YouTube, it's managed to keep me focused, at least doing the same thing over and over again. And it's the only thing in my whole life that I've managed to do that with. So yeah. I fully agree.
And the process too of making videos, like if you, you know, like that little inkling, that little itch that you get when you're working on something and then your brain just wants you to switch when, you know, like you're being pulled away, you know, my attention is just not here. It needs to focus on something else. When you're making videos, there's so many different, you know, moving parts, so many different things.
Exactly.
You know, like if I'm trying to write a script and my brain just isn't in this, you know, like it's just not letting me just get these words out. I'm halfway through the script and I need to stop writing this thing. I can't even concentrate anymore. Mm-hmm. There's another thing to do. Yeah. I could go over to my mini PC station and start recording some gameplay on there, or I can unbox a handheld and just kind of go off the cuff, or, you know, like editing the videos and editing the audio and making the thumbnail. There's so many different things that, like, you know, if you're bored of one thing, just do one of the other things and then go back to the other thing later.
Yeah. And there's a very much a thing of forgiving yourself. And that's why the diagnosis is so helpful, because you're like, my brain is like this. Let me work around it. So is the next thing that I'm darting off to still productive? Yes. Okay. Well, then let me do that thing. I'll get back to this other thing later.
I mean, there are times when it does mm-hmm. when it does impact you a lot. You know, like I think that I'm probably, I have a very addictive personality. Addiction runs in my family, very deep in my family. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that there's lots of ties between ADHD and addiction. I don't know the science behind it, but I've heard that people say that. Mm. And it's really been a thing in my life, just addiction in general. Mm. And I live a very clean life now. I am I'm one of the most boring people you'll ever meet. Like my vice is coffee. Like that's it. Like because I'm not allowed to drink or smoke or drugs or anything. Like I can't. For me, it's either I can do something as much as I want all day, every day, or I'm never allowed to touch it. There's no in between, because I can't control myself, and I will try to make up rules around it about, you know, to keep mm-hmm. myself in line, and then I will find ways to break those rules. And it's just, I've heard that, you know, the connection between ADHD and addiction is a real thing. And it's been true for me. And that's one of the negatives, I think. And also just like, even less damaging addictions, something like social media addiction or wanting to just continuously whatever scroll on Twitter or something, those are things that, like, they can really, really get me if I'm not careful. So knowing about, you know, my brain and what I need to watch for is a way to kind of keep myself in line sometimes.
I think this is such a good point. And actually I want to sit on this for a bit, because a few people came to mind who I know have ADHD. Like, ADHD has a genetic component, and I come from a long line of alcoholics and drug addicts, like a lot of them.
Same.
And mental health issues. My one uncle ended up on the streets of Cape Town. Like, he just couldn't cope with real life and stuff. So, like, that history, firstly, freaks the crap out of me. And so I spend a very long period of my life staying away from stuff like alcohol. Fortunately, I think I've discovered I don't, because they say there's like a, there's a component to alcoholism that's actually like a disease where you are just an alcoholic, like you're born an alcoholic kind of thing. And I don't think I have that. So I've managed to just have a drink here and there without being addicted.
I wish I could do that. That's not me. I would always fantasize about that. Like, oh, I'll just be one of those guys who just has a drink at a wedding or when he has buddies over. Actually, there was I used to drink way too much, and I realized it was a problem when I was like just drunk all day and. Gosh. So I came up with rules for myself where I wouldn't allow myself to drink unless it's a social situation. I'm going to be one of those persons who drinks.
Yeah.
Then I had a friend who was coming over, and I was like, oh, social situation, sweet. I got a bottle of vodka, and he came over, and I was like, we were hanging out during the day, and then nighttime came, and I'm like, hey, let's get into the vodka. And he's like, nah, I don't really want to have any.
Dude,
and I was like, shut up, you're having some. I've been waiting for this all freaking week. We're drinking. And it's like, he didn't want to. And I like, I realized like, oh God, I hate having this thing and just have such control over me and how I don't feel like I can enjoy life without it. And oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. And I think most people who are, especially people who are like diagnosed ADHD, who are fully, you know, like some people say, oh, I have ADHD, but they're kind of just like using it loosely. Like, are more like you are, where it's all or nothing. And it's so dangerous to dabble with these things. You know, like I hear of guys with ADHD and they're like, yeah, no, I smoke a little bit of weed just to calm down, all this stuff. It's so dangerous for ADHDers to do that because, there is no end to how far that can go with you, you know?
Turning to substances and stimulation in times of like, you know, that thing where I said, you know, you feel that itch, that desire to move on to something else. Sometimes that something else could be a drink or a puff or whatever. And that's where it can become a real problem. If you're just that, if you have that type of mind, it's just self-awareness. I mean, for most people, they're just totally fine with it. And hats off to them. I wish I could be one. I got it. For me, it's all or nothing. It's either all I want all day, every day, or never. And most things just have to be a never for me. Otherwise, it will become a real problem.
Mm. Oh, good for you for recognizing that, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, all my sort of addictions are pretty innocent these days. So, but I think I also, because I was so afraid of the addiction thing, of how I grew up, you know, seeing family members like kind of all messed up from it, I would stay away from things. And so that also affected me because of like my concentration issues and that, like it made moving away from things even like I would jump from one thing to the next, never staying in a job for very long, never doing like hobbies for very long because I was so scared I was going to get addicted to certain things. Well, anyway, long story short, the Steam Deck, I've been playing Fallout 4. I'm going to have to delete, like honestly, like it is like a little Aiden sharing time. I'm going to have to delete it off the Steam Deck because it's taking up so, like I sat for way too long today playing when I should have been working, and it's just it's just, I don't know, there's something about that game, especially these open world FPS games. They consume your whole life. Even Aisha, I don't think he's got ADHD, but he's like, I don't know if I should play that game because it will consume my life. So, you know, he doesn't even have addiction issues.
Oh, I've been there so many times, man. I've had to delete games so many times. Man, we could go back to like my early adulthood when I was addicted to World of Warcraft. You've heard the stories of World of Warcraft taking over people's lives.
Yes. Oh,
that was a big one for me. It's almost not even worth getting into because it's such a sad, pathetic thing. my whole life became World of Warcraft. I stopped eating. I just ate in World of Warcraft and did, my brain thought that that was nourishing for me. Oh, God. Wow. It's actually a sad story. Let's not bum people out.
Shame.
But like you said, knowing yourself and knowing where what are triggers for you and just cutting them out, saying, no, this is it. Like, it's either I can have it or I can't. And making that like a line that is, you can't cross it. Because if you are allowed to cross it a little, you'll find ways to make it so you can cross it a little bit more, a little bit more.
And, our brains are wired like an addict because that's how addicts think. And we think about everything like that. I think it's very important. Like I'll say one more thing about ADHD, but it's so important for ADHDers to have more positive things that they can look forward to that they're passionate about and that they're stuck. Like for you and I, it's doing these channels and making these videos. I actually said it to my wife before I knew I had ADHD. I said, like, would you rather I did this or like be like that guy who goes out drinking with his buddies every night? You know, it's not that I would ever do that really, but you know, people with brains like ours have to have some. So like, for instance, sitting on my couch playing Fallout 4 and eventually realizing I'm going to have to delete this game because I much rather want to sit and play game, sit and make videos than play this game.
Yeah.
You know? So I've got a more positive addiction.
Yeah. Cause like, for people with addictive personalities or ADHD or however you want to label it, if you're prone to addiction, there is no such thing as not being addicted to stuff. Like you just gotta put your addiction in the right place. You got to become addicted to, lots of people become addicted to, healthy eating and exercise.
Yeah.
Some people become addicted to running marathons. I'm addicted to making YouTube videos. It's all I do. It's all I want to do. And it scratches every itch that I have with everything. I could play games doing this thing. I can make art. I can be creative. I can make people laugh. I can everything I want in life, I get through this hobby.
Yeah.
And, that's, on you that know, note. Like I'd be making these videos even if nobody watched it. Oh, there it is. There he is. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. So this, to explain to everyone, this arrived, and we'll jump into the whole Steam Deck story. This arrived with my Steam Deck from Tech Dweeb. So Tech Dweeb contacted me and said, because I mentioned to many people that I wanted a Steam Deck, and he was like, hey, I'm going to sell my LCD, I'm getting the OLED, and in the box, it will tell the story just now, but this traveled over the Atlantic Ocean 3 times.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that. It's so special, and I need to go get it framed. It's going to go up somewhere in my studio. I might actually put it in view somewhere, like there. I don't know.
Oh, it's no problem. It only took me like 5 minutes. So that's a thing that I
really appreciate
that's
it.
Like, that's one of my jobs at one point is I did caricatures.
Yes.
I did a couple events and a couple fairs and stuff. I was one of those guys that had their little stand up and you could, you know, go sit and have your picture drawn and it only takes them like a couple minutes. I've actually kind of fallen out of practice of it a little bit. I used to be better and faster at it.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years since I did that in any sort of volume, but I still love doing it. I just did one of Stubbs too. I sent that to him for his birthday. Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah. So I saw this pop up for Stubbs' birthday. Really, really nice.
Yeah. I actually, like this takes me like 5 minutes. It's like nothing. And I doodled that. I found out it was Stubbs' birthday because he mentioned it on his podcast with Clef. He mentioned, it's my birthday tomorrow. I'm taking the day off.
Okay.
And as the podcast was on, I just doodled this up really quickly and I sent it off right away. Man. Like,
yeah. Well, I think everyone just loves it. It's like, I mean, I know you're playing it down, but I think the thought of it is just really special.
Well, it's one of the superpowers of an art guy. Cause mm-hmm. I went to school for art. I went to college for art, and I did art as a career.
Yes.
And now I make YouTube videos. So, it tells you how successful that was, but it's one of the superpowers of an artist is to be able to like gift people art. Mm. You know, they, if there's something they're interested in, you can just draw them a picture of it and that'll be like a little treasured thing for them. They'll get a picture that's drawn, something that they couldn't make themselves, and they get to keep it or whatever, and it's made for them.
If
I made art content, I would talk about this all the time, but I think artists just need to just give, like, because people don't have the ability to make art, and it's sort of like we're gifted with, not gifted, like it takes lots of work to learn how to do it, but we're gifted with the drive to want to learn how to do it and make it, you know, become good at our craft. And it's sort of like, you know, we obviously artists need to be paid for the work and stuff like that. But, you know, for friends and family and, you know, people who deserve it, you just gotta make stuff for them all the time. I would always be, whenever Christmas came around, I got a very, very big family. I got lots of uncles and aunts. I have 10 aunts and uncles on each side of my family.
Sheesh.
Have... a bunch of Catholics in Canada.
I know what you mean.
I got so many cousins.
Yeah.
And then all of those I have something like almost 50 cousins. Well, all of those cousins now have kids.
Good
and I hang out with my cousins' kids all the time. Yeah. They're like as if they're like my brothers and sisters sometimes. I'm cool uncle Techtwee with all the toys. Everyone likes me. But whenever like it would be like a Secret Santa or giving gifts or whatever, I would always make my gifts. Never any question that I would buy something. Yeah. I would always just, you know, yeah.
That's cool.
The art world is tough.
Yeah.
Tougher right now because of AI. I don't see it as the gloom and doom that lots of people do. I don't want to make any artists bad by talking too much about it. I see AI as a tool in our toolbox and something that talented artists can use for good.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's tough. I tried it for so many years, and I had success. I worked on some really cool projects and, you know, I achieved like a D-list level celebrity in various, niches online and stuff. But, I'm happy doing this instead now. And, I feel like the same creative juices that would help me make whatever, a picture or a step, you know, assets for a project, a video game or board game or whatever, those same juices get flowing when I'm making videos. Like it feels like the same thing. Like when I'm like, you know, setting up my desk for a video, it feels like I'm just moving, pictures in a composition around to make the most pleasing thing. And, you know, when I'm writing, when I'm making jokes and stuff, it's just as creatively satisfying to be.
Good.
So yeah, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Yeah, that's art. And I mean, you are getting an outlet for it here and there as well. The actual physical drawing and all that kind of thing. I had my little Manya somewhere. Yeah. There he is. Can you see him in the background there? That's also Aiden.
What is that guy?
There.
That guy.
From our 10,000... subscriber celebration.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to jump the gun here. One of the questions in your Discord server that you had for me was from somebody, AJP, and he wanted to know how he could make art like Techtwee.
Yeah, let's share the screen.
What I made for you is what I call a standee, and these are little paper figures that I make. Where is it? Draw like Techtwee video course. When it is AJP. It's my boy. That's my boy, AJP.
Boy.
How you doing, buddy? The what I made you there, that little figure, that's a standee, and I make those for my channel for the various skits and stuff that I put on. But the way I learned to make those is for Dungeons and Dragons.
When
I ran a Dungeons and Dragons game, the board is literally, I would make like 10 goblins and the characters for all the players and stuff, and they take like no time at all.
Okay.
So I thought it would be fun. I don't know if you're up for this, Aiden, but I could show you how I don't know
what it is,
one.
But let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, we said in the previous episode we're going to do something like this, so let's go for it.
Did we? I forgot. All right. How about I'll make Russ from Retro Game Core. So I'll do like a little, what is Russ? Oh yeah, Russ has like the military style, nice clean haircut. Yeah, just kind of, I don't know if you could see this. Got to make sure that it's framed in the camera. Do a little Russ character. Yeah, he's got a friendly face, little smile, and he's got a beard. Oh yeah, got to do the beard for Russ. Maybe he's still like this, and he's got like the nice, clean, tight military haircut. And there we go. That's a little scraggly on the beard, but whatever. I'm doing this live. and then because Russ is also Tech Dweeb, we'll give him a striped shirt. Everybody knows that we're the same person. And we'll just kind of go like this, give him some quick hands. All right. And all right, there's Russ. All right, so the way that I, oh no, I forgot my scissors. Hang on, I gotta go grab my scissors. All right, so we got the, we got that. And then you start cutting it out and you just kind of go roughly around the outside like that. And make it look all chunky.
Yes,
it looks cool.
The little jagged
edges.
Just kind
of chunk it up, you know.
There.
And you gotta leave. Some at the bottom. And hang on. All right, you gotta leave some at the bottom because you gotta get the tape out. And I don't think I left enough at the bottom on this one. So in this case, what I would do is I would just fold it back, and then it could just kind of stand up like that. But ideally, you would have extra, and you would fold it forward as well, and then you can tape that shut, and then you can cut that. So yeah, there you go, like that. And you can kind of cut it on a hexagonal pattern to make it look like a D&D piece or whatever. And so there you go. That's a free art course for you.
There
you
we go.
Make your own
first
standees.
Viewer question answered. I love that. That's so cool.
This looks
exactly
nothing like
Russ.
Well, I'm a failure. No, it's terrible. Don't humor me.
I'll mask Russ's face on there. We'll be like, he drew it just like Russ. That's identical. That's realism.
Yeah, well, maybe we could like re-record that section and I'll spend like 7 hours on it and make it perfect. And we could just cut it in. Nobody
we'll
will
just
go.
Do this recording into the into tomorrow for me because it's what 8-9 PM here. What retro device are you using right now? Like the emulator.
Okay. So right now I'm doing a DOS thing. I don't know if you saw my DOS video, but I've been laser focused on DOS. So I have a couple other videos I need to get out first. Some products that I agreed to review, and I got to get those videos out. And I like doing those too. But I've been playing DOS. I've been just re-experiencing my life as a little gamer through experiencing DOS again, because it's one of those systems. Yeah, it's one of those systems that like it's hard to emulate on handhelds. It's easy to do on computers, but it's hard to do on because you got to set up the controls and you got to know all the controls, and then said the keyboard comes up and you know it's awkward, and it's just awkward to do on handhelds. So most people I find it's sort of an underappreciated topic, and those games are so freaking good. They paved the way for so many genres of games in so many ways. So
so that's your
anyways.
Your
obsession
right now.
I've been re-experiencing so many of my games from when I was a kid on my little DOS setup, and finding new ones, all these amazing games that I didn't know about or that I just couldn't afford when I was a little dweeb, or I couldn't run these games. I couldn't run, play those again. And I was never into role-playing games when I was a kid. I never had the patience for them, but I love them now. So then... The role-playing games on the PC are like, that's like the dawn of the golden era of role-playing games, really. So, going nuts on the DOS. And I'm really excited to share some of my findings and some of my favorite games. I got a couple more DOS videos planned coming up, and they should be really fun.
I need to binge those videos. Okay, so drop some DOS games on us. Like, well, what are... Like, refresh our memories of some of the good DOS games.
Oh, man. Last night I did a mouse mod. So this mouse here, the 8-bit Do mouse, it's the retro mouse. It's freaking terrible. It's a terrible mouse. It looks cool, but it's really terrible. So one of the things that I like to do is to try to paint my tech and make it look old and retro. That's what I did in my DOS video. I painted my monitor, made it look beige and old.
That video soon.
And so what I did yesterday was I put together a mouse that, like, a modern mouse, a decent little mouse that sort of looked old, and I painted it beige and I tried to put some red accents on it. It turned out all right. But I had just assembled my retro mouse. And so, yesterday, I was playing mouse-based DOS games. So I was playing, Cannon Fodder. I was playing Heroes of Might and Magic 2. I was playing Worms. I was playing Lemmings. What else did I play?
Good times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I loved that game. You ever do this where, like, you dig a little hole and you put like 200 lemmings in there, or 100 lemmings in that one little hole,
yes,
and then you hit the self-destruct button and they all explode all over the place? It's like
memories,
fireworks. Yeah, that's my first one. Yeah, that's the one where I show the computer setup that I made, and I painted the monitor. But you see the beige monitor? It looks like an old monitor. It wasn't. I just took it apart and painted it. And yeah.
Whoa. That one I watched.
Hey, you can't show my content. That's a copyright strike.
Oh, funny. Okay.
Yeah, better watch yourself, buddy.
Yeah, cool. Okay, all right. So the video with the games is still on the way.
Yeah. So the next video is going to be a tutorial of how to emulate DOS on a PC and how to use my build of DOSBox called DweebDOS. I didn't want to release it really until I could explain how to use it, because most people are just going to be lost. They don't know the DOS commands and stuff, and there's a few little quirks for it. So the next video is going to be explaining it, and I'm going to give the build out in that video. And then the final video is just the games, and I'm going to go through all my favorite DOS games, all the games that I've discovered. And a fun little thing is it actually works fine on the Steam Deck too. So I was doing this the other night. I was sitting on my couch and I just plugged in my DweebDOS. You can literally just download it, copy it over, start putting DOS games in, and you add it as a non-Steam game, and it just works right away. So you'll need a keyboard of some sort, because it's a pain in the butt otherwise.
Yeah. My video's on the way. I've got it all set up. My Steam Deck is so kitted up. It's amazing. Yeah.
I know. I saw your RGB backplate video. That was cool. And you dove right in with that one. I was surprised you got a video out so quickly. Yeah, it looks awesome.
The reason was, I don't know if we are going to talk about it in this episode, but because I want to make a video about it, but it took so long to get to me that all the accessories that I'd reach out to manufacturers to send me had arrived. They were all sitting here, and I really wanted to get this backplate on. I love see-through cases. I just did the top-down footage. I haven't done that much, where I did the footage and then I just did a voiceover, because I just wanted to get it done, you know. Yeah.
Sometimes those are pretty easy videos to get out, where you just record yourself doing it and then you talk about it and just edit it together quickly.
Yeah, especially when you're as excited as I was. So.
Yeah, you just wanted to play with it.
Yeah, man. I wanted to get that out the way so that I could put games on and play the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the end of everything.
Yeah, I hear you, man. My Steam Deck is my most played device, I think. Maybe my Logitech G Cloud would beat it, just because I use that for retro gaming mostly.
I see you like that.
And the main reason I use that is because, well, it's a beautiful, fun device. It's nice and big. It's sort of like a Steam Deck for retro games. It almost feels like crazy battery efficient. The battery just lasts days and days
on
it.
That's huge.
And I can record my gameplay on it. So if I need to record retro games for a video, like if I'm doing my Dusty Game Society video of the month or something like that, I can just play the games on there and record record right on the device, and like that's my gameplay recording done, so I don't have to do it on the computer or whatever. I play with that one a lot. But the Steam Deck, it's like every time I'm like, okay, sweet, I got a video up, it's like 6 p.m. I'm gonna eat dinner and I'm gonna sit on the couch and play some games. I just grab the Steam Deck. I have a gaming PC hooked up to a giant flat screen TV. And there I am sitting in front of it playing on my little Steam Deck. I don't know. There's something about it. There's a little bit of secret sauce there. There's some magic. There's addictive chemicals in the plastic or something that just makes me just want to pick it up and play with it.
Yeah. So I wanted to complain to you because I'm very grateful that you sold me your Steam Deck, but it's your fault that I haven't worked this week.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. Yeah.
Classic.
One of us.
Well, you see, so here's the pros and cons of ADHD is the fact that I am hyper focusing on that right now. And the reason is, this isn't ADHD, this is just Aiden and probably you as well, is I have to fully understand something before I can like let it go. So I'm getting excited about making videos on my retro games again, but I needed to fully have a grasp of the Steam Deck before I could put it down. And so, I've done everything. I haven't put Windows on it, but I've done pretty much most of the things that people are doing on Steam Decks. And now I'm kind of like, okay, I can recalibrate.
Yeah. And there's such a, it's a hot topic too, the Steam Deck. My Steam Deck videos always do well. Doesn't even matter what the topic is. If it has the word Steam Deck in the title, it'll do well. And there's so many different topics you can explore with the deck and people just love watching them. I want to watch you make Steam Deck stuff. I can't, I'll watch everything you make. Anything with the word Steam Deck in it from your channel, I'll watch it. Like you could do anything. Okay. You could just like launch a single game and be like, watch me play freaking Assassin's Creed on the Steam Deck and I'll watch that.
Dude,
whatever.
dude. Have you put Darkwing Duck on here?
I haven't, but I do. I did play it on the G Cloud when I made my video on it. And
I know that. I watched that video. Yeah. You made me proud.
Yeah. Oh man, going back to that game after so many years, it's hard. Sorry. But like, I'm a lot better now than I was when I was a kid at games. And I have a lot more like ability to learn from my mistakes. And so it's kind of vindicating to be able to play it now and be able to conquer some of the things that just kicked my butt. Yeah. Because I mean, like games back then, like they were hard, not just because like, you know, gamers were better or anything, but because that's how they made the games they added value to the game because you could play it for longer, right? Like a Darkwing Duck, like little Aiden playing Darkwing Duck, if it was easy and you could beat it the first day you got it, that was a big waste of money because like you only had one game a quarter or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. And you'd be so pissed off with that game creator, you'd never buy from them again.
Yeah. Games that were too easy, just you're done with them too fast. And back then games were expensive and we didn't have access to tons of free games and other games to fill our life with or emulation. It was just like, that was it. That's what games were. So like if you bought a game, it had to last a long time. Mm. And that's one of the ways that they lasted was it was just so hard that you just keep playing it over and over trying to get to the end.
Yeah. Well, put Darkwing Duck on the Steam Deck. It looks amazing. And on your OLED, it's going to be even more amazing.
Yeah. Those blacks, the dark, dark blacks on the OLED. Mm. Very nice. Actually, NES games, because of that, so many NES games where it had like a black screen as the base and then put colorful sprites on top. Those games in particular on OLED screens, just, it's glorious.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, actually, I'm going to do the 556 video soon, so I will experience that for myself.
Oh, have you played with it much?
Yes, I have, but I've mostly actually just fiddling with it, mostly been doing Android gaming. This is a podcast, so Nintendo won't pick up on this, but I started testing Switch games today, and I couldn't believe how well. So some of the games played just as well as the Retroid Pocket 4 Pro, and that kind of, I don't understand how it does that.
Well, I mean, Switch is just, it's such a janky emulator. Like if the game isn't running well, you don't know if it's just like the emulator just isn't mature enough to run it. And if the bottleneck is the emulator, then it's not going to run well no matter what hardware you throw at it.
Whatever.
It's running the same. Yeah, I kind of hate Switch emulation in general, on especially on Android. It's such a minefield. And like, I have a Switch. I know lots of people want to emulate it, but like, honestly, it is a recent system and you could just buy it and play it there. I know, I know you want to upscale it. You want to put on a 60 FPS patch. That's what I did with Tears of the Kingdoms. Yeah. I know. But like, the Switch is still, say what you will. It's a good system. I like it as a handheld. I like my Switch. I like my custom controller. And if I emulated all my Switch games, I'd never freaking touch the thing. And it's kind of a relic, you know, like it's a rare thing to have a console like the Switch that has games that you go to a store and buy and open and you smell that package and you put pop the cartridge in. And it's like, this might be our last time for this.
I was just
going
to say.
Last chance. Yeah. So like, soak it up while you can. And when the Switch is end of life and Nintendo just turns their lawyers onto some other thing and we can make the emulators perfect, like we will, you know, like I am what they call a patient gamer, you know, like I don't mind waiting to get the best experience. And right now there's, especially on Android, the best experience for Switch is to just not try, because it's just so much headache and heartache for so many games. And but it's a little bit better on the PC. But like I said, I've lost too many save games, like putting too much thought, too much stock into Switch emulation. Where I would be playing a game through emulation and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this here. I'm having fun. And then like, whatever, something crashes or it won't get past a certain point in the game, or my save file's corrupt and I've just lost
today.
It all. And all the time with Switch emulation. See, because it's so new. It's just, you know, I'm glad that it's progressing, but like for actually like using it, it's like, it's just not worth it yet.
It's interesting because I think, so to play like devil's advocate, I think people are frustrated because they spent so much money on like an Odin 2 or even like a Retro Pocket 4 Pro. And I think in their minds, they were like, I'm going to play Switch games on this thing. And then the whole drama happened and they're like, oh, I can't play my Switch games. But the whole time I was sitting on the sidelines going, why is everyone surprised? Like, this is a current system that is like, I could walk down the road, you know, like in South Africa, if something's not like readily available, they don't sell it here. You know, I can walk down the road to any store and find Switch games. Like, why are they surprised that Nintendo's upset? Like
You know what's funny is before the crackdown on Yuzu, before all the drama, I actually had a video outlined, and the video was going to be called Why I Don't Emulate Switch. And it was basically going to be everything I just said about how the emulators it's fascinating that we're working on the emulators, and I'm glad that they're being worked on.
I just find it interesting.
It's not ready for actual use yet because of all the jank. And also it's a current console. So just play the games on the console and you'll get
buy
them
the
eventually.
Thing.
Yeah. They'll get there. You'll get the free one eventually and just be a patient gamer and you'll get them. Like how many of those Switch games do you need to play right now? You know, like, there's not a big online community where it's like, there's stuff happening. And if you don't play now, you'll never get it. Like, you know, like it is on Xbox or whatever, you know, like Helldivers 2. If you want to play that, you should be playing it now while everyone's playing it. And while it's a big fun thing,
I see.
You know, like there's not that on the Switch. They're all like single player games or multiplayer games that are going to be the same in 20 years as they are now. And by then you'll be running those games on your watch, you know, like, like we do with like Super Nintendo on these kind of things, right? Like you'll have your Switch. You just gotta be patient,
wait.
and it's there for you to buy and play with right now. So I just don't bother. But I'm not hating on people that do. Like it's fine, you know. If you like, the best part of emulation is that that gives you the freedom to play them how you want. It just doesn't surprise me that there's all these problems because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm definitely, well, so I downloaded Yuzu for the first time the week before it got shut down. And I said that to some people, and I don't think they really believed me. They were like, nah, you can't, you're lying, you know? And the main reason, because I got the Retro Pocket 4 Pro, and I was like, oh, I see guys are playing Switch on it, so I should probably give it a go, you know, like the Odin 2 and all that kind of thing. But it just didn't appeal to me because, I don't know, I think in the back of my mind, I knew it was all going to blow up in our faces anyway.
Yeah, yeah. This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, gaming, why are you like this? What Steam Deck game are you playing right now?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so I'm playing Halls of Torment, which is my latest survivors-like style game that it's sort of like Vampire Survivors with like a Diablo vibe to it. I'm really enjoying, I get so addicted to those games, but the good thing about those is they, a run only takes like 15 or 20 minutes. So I'm at least guaranteed to break the addiction. Actually I did install Fallout New Vegas on it. I never played Fallout New Vegas. I've been watching the show.
After our discussion, I don't recommend it.
Yeah. I've been watching the show. I don't love the show the way everyone else does. I don't really like most
TV. Okay, I'm enjoying
TV.
It. Okay.
Yeah,
you're not really a TV guy.
I don't like most stuff. And but whatever, it's fine. I'm like two episodes away from finishing it, so I'll just finish it. But it did make me realize that I never played New Vegas, and I keep on telling people I'm going to try New Vegas. And so I installed that on the deck, and I put in like 2 hours, and I'm determined this time, this is going to be the time that I actually play through, give it a good proper chance. But we'll see. What else? Oh, Star Wars Jedi. What's the one? Not Survivor, the one before that. Oh, crap. I'm drawing a blank. This is so embarrassing. Everyone's screaming at me in the comments.
It's ridiculous. It's not like we can't fix it in the edit.
Yeah, this one came with my Humble Bundle like 2 months ago.
Ah.
Humble Bundle, for those that don't know, you pay 10 bucks a month or whatever. And every month you get a bundle of games, and they call it Choice.
Is that how it works? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, well, there's different ways Humble Bundle works, because there's also a Humble Store. And then there's also random bundles that come along. But the Humble Choice is where you get to choose, they deliver you like 10 games or whatever, and you get to choose your favorite games from it. And there's always like one or two AAA games from like a year or two ago in there. The Star Wars one, it was the one before this. I don't know if you'll be able to see the past months. There's never been a month that I don't like the game, at least one game, but usually there's like some cool, there's like some cool indie game or some boomer shooter that like I always wanted to try or whatever. Because of that, I've been a subscriber since day one on Humble. And because of that, I have my Steam library is just overflowing with all these amazing games that are just on my bucket list to play someday. So yeah, I was glad I waited on that one, because I almost picked it up in a Steam sale and I never did. And then it just showed up in my account because I have it on Humble. And finally giving that a try. I'm like 4 hours into it. I'm loving it. It's really good. It's like Dark Souls meets Star Wars or whatever, but a little more casual than Dark Souls. And it's lots of good fun. I haven't played a good Star Wars game in a while. I used to love those games, the Jedi games, the Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy and all those old Star Wars games. I love that stuff. What about you? What are you playing?
Fallout 4. I'm actually, honestly, after today, I'm going to stop playing it. It gives me like I don't know, when I get addicted to something like that, I get this horrible feeling inside and I just can't carry on. But I'm really enjoying narrative games. Like I told you about Edith Finch? What Remains of Edith Finch?
That's the one. I played that. That's a great game.
Yes, such a lovely game. And then I was like, I really like this style. It's very relaxing. And then I got Beyond Two Souls, which has got Elliot Page. There we go. So that was just mind-blowing. Some of the gameplay was, actually the controls were very frustrating on Steam Deck. I should have just played it on my PC. And now I'm playing The Quarry.
Okay. Isn't that one a multiplayer game?
It can be. So you can sit on the couch and like make choices together about different characters. So because it goes from character to character.
I remember it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And yeah, that looks good.
It's so well done. Yeah,
maybe a little spooky. It's spooky. It's scary, right?
Yes, it's like a teen slasher movie. It's like, you know, like Scream, those sorts of movies. So it's got like jump scares and stuff.
I'd probably hate it. I'm not good with scary games. They stress me out.
I'm loving it. I love that narrative because, you know, like the FPS is very nice. Like I'm enjoying like the battles and the strategy and the whole kind of thing. But I just find those games really relaxing. I said to my wife, it's like I was sitting in the car and I was like, oh, what's happening in that series I'm watching? And then I realized it was the game. It's just a more interactive TV show. And I love TV shows. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, there's obviously the Telltale games are like the kings of that style of game, right? The narrative, choice-based. Yes. I loved the... I don't talk about it a lot, but I'm a big Minecraft nerd. I actually love Minecraft. I still play Minecraft. Okay, cool. I play Minecraft with my cousins all the time. I've been playing Minecraft since the good old days. And the Minecraft story mode game, I don't think you could buy it anymore or something. It was so good. It was like probably my favorite of the Telltale games. But it's probably my rose-tinted Minecraft loving glasses that made me like it. I hear The Wolf Among Us is among Telltale's best. Lots of people love that one.
Yes, I've seen it. I don't know why I never considered it, actually. I must just go through the Telltale because the Walking Dead is like, as a narrative, like I'm realizing it's like probably going to be my favorite gaming genre. The Walking Dead is just an absolute masterpiece. They brought it out in seasons and it gets better. The gameplay in the first season is not very good. Gets better every season, but it's phenomenal. The storytelling by those guys is just next level. So I'm a huge fan of the show, and for a show to carry over to a game, it's like a game carrying over to a TV show. Like usually it doesn't work. The game is just as engaging as the show. It's like the same feeling I got when I watched The Walking Dead. It's really, really good.
Well, their Game of Thrones game really hooked me. I loved that.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. If you watched Game of Thrones and you enjoyed it, the Game of Thrones Telltale game is really, really good.
I must have tried to watch Game of Thrones like 3 or 4 times because, you know, there was so much hype. So I kept being like, I'm missing something. Just didn't like it.
Yeah. It's probably one of my favorite shows of all time. I know lots of people didn't like the way it ended. Yeah. I loved the way it ended. I thought it was just fine. I was really happy with it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like you're as much a fan of that as I am of The Walking Dead. Like Walking Dead.
Yeah, probably.
The graphic novels are very expensive, but I'm considering sort of asking them every year for as a Christmas gift, but they're really expensive. I think it's like $1,000 rand. I don't know how many dollars that is, but it's expensive per book. My friend was explaining to me that he's also into Dungeons and Dragons, and I think I might be halfway to being converted.
Oh my gosh, Aiden, I'm so happy. I'm so happy right now.
Just the way he explained it, I was like, that is really creative and interesting. So it sounds way more engaging than just a boring board game, which I hate.
Oh, it's not even like a board game. It's only the basic shell of a board game. It's mostly a social storytelling. You talk things out and you make jokes and fun things happen. But before the podcast today, literally an hour before we started, I just ended a 4-hour D&D session. I'm the game master in a Curse of Strahd, who's like a vampire. He's basically Dracula. And it was so freaking exciting. My players, they got to experience this big turn of events in the story where this character, they thought, I don't want to give any spoilers, actually. This thing that they thought was one thing turned out to be another thing. And there was this big confrontation and they were all like, oh my gosh, I got to see that look on their face of like what? Oh, it's the best feeling in the world as a game master.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
You see, so into it. That's beautiful. That's so good.
Let's do this. Let's have a whole podcast of just D&D, and we'll play D&D, and I'll show you how it works. Oh gosh.
And we'll just talk it through. that'll be a nice live stream, I think.
If I had a second channel, it would definitely be D&D related. That's my other main passion in life is Dungeons and Dragons. I could talk forever about it. I love it.
Really? I didn't notice.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, let's get into the viewer questions. I think this is a great way to end and lead us into the ending. All right, so Aish got a very serious question. Is cream soda okay when I run out of root beer?
What? No. What? Just get out of here with that dumb question. Of course not. It's not even the same. It's just because it's a drink. That's like saying, is tea okay when you run out of root beer? No. The root beer is the only, if you want a root beer, the only thing that's going to scratch your itch is a root beer. Maybe a ginger ale, but cream soda, come on, get out of here with cool. that.
I think all these questions are literally just loaded to trigger you. Just warning.
My blood pressure's raising.
Okay. Well, we've discussed this, Crystal. How do you find time to balance other hobbies while being a famous YouTuber? Although we haven't spoken about hobbies. So maybe answer that question.
Yeah, I find I have to force myself to do the hobbies that are fun, because otherwise I will literally just make videos all day, every day. My usual flow is I upload a video and put the thumbnail up and you know, I get the video uploaded and I post it to my social media and then immediately move on to the next video without literally even taking a moment to like do a single thing.
Yeah.
And so if I don't, that's why Dungeons and Dragons is great, is because I have a group and we have to meet at the same time every single week. I actually run two games. I have an online game and I have an in-person game. And if we didn't schedule it, I would never play it. Like you got to kind of know your limitations and force yourself to have the fun that you need in your life to maintain sanity and happiness.
Definitely.
So it's yet another struggle of the awesome life of a YouTuber.
Yeah, and the life of ADHD, because I said to my wife yesterday, I said to her, you really need to sometimes check in on me, because I got up at about 4:30 to go fetch her from work and the kids and everything. And I realized, firstly, I hadn't eaten all day. My hands, because I picked up the Steam Deck to play like for 10 minutes, and my hands were so cold, I couldn't press the buttons. I hadn't done anything for about 7 hours besides sit at my desk. And that's a very dangerous thing.
Oh, that is, you just hit the nail on the head. That's the story of my life. If I didn't have a mom to take care of me, I would forget to eat so many times. Like sometimes she'll fall asleep early on the couch or whatever before dinner. And I just won't eat dinner that day. Like I don't even think about anything, you know, like if I don't make sure to eat, I will not eat. And, I will ignore my body functions until it becomes a problem. And I'm like shaking and so.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So my answer to that is that I don't do a very good job of maintaining my habits or my life.
Great answer. What an inspiration.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't meet your heroes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Crystal. Okay. Russ wants to know, face reveal when? Let's put this conspiracy that we're the same person to bed. But I said, that's just silly. We all know it is a conspiracy.
Yeah. I posted that question just to kind of confuse people or whatever, throw them off my scent. But, you know, deep down, I like the mystery. So, you know,
we know.
You'll never know that we're not the same person.
Okay, cool. Yeah, they're the same hands, guys. Just like, look at it.
Yeah.
Just stop asking silly questions.
If you look, here's a thing. If you watch every single one of Retro Game Corp's video, you will have all the information you need to know who we both are. So you'll just have to go binge his entire channel and watch very closely.
Yes. That's how you'll find out. Draw like Tech Dweeb, we've established. Go see earlier in the episode, we actually learned how to draw like Tech Dweeb. And a photorealism picture of Russ.
I threw it over there. I'd show it again, but I threw it.
Yeah. I'll let you in on a secret. This is to respond to a retro game call. He was actually with you all during CES the whole time. Because you know the RH crew went to CES.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you would remember because you were there.
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Another drink related question. Also, I would like to know from RetroFunTech, what is his thoughts on ginger ale, specifically Canada Dry or Verner's? Has he tried Verner's before?
Verner's. Oh, I've tried Verner's.
I do.
Verner's is one of those things where, you know, the people that like it, love it. And the people who don't are tech dweeb.
So you don't like it?
If you like Verner's, I'm sorry. I know there's sort of a cult around Verner's. It's a famous drink.
Okay,
it's from southwestern Ontario. That's where it's made. And yeah,
All right.
I don't know. Cream or ginger ale? Yeah, I could get behind a ginger ale. Mm. It's no root beer. Nothing is. Mm. But ginger ale, I'll take some of that. Canada Dry, sure. Yeah.
So Aish says these are the important questions, which they are. We've been spending a lot of time answering them because they are the important questions. Has Sad Tarik, he's also very active.
Yeah, Sad Tarik. Yeah, he's been around for a while. How you doing, buddy? Mm.
Has TD always been a collector of creatives, or is that something that the YouTube channel spawned? Okay, we kind of did answer that, eh?
Yeah, they kind of flocked my Discord. I don't know. Mm. Like I really can't take any credit. I feel like everybody's kind of these cool people keep gathering around me and hanging out in places that I hang out. So
you're like, why are you
like
there?
I should ask you why you're there, Sad Tarik, because you're a cool dude. And I don't know what I did to bring you over there, but
RetroFunTech is because he's awesome. Here's where the lots of awesome words come in. I'm just wondering wondering if he's always been awesome and or if the YouTube brand amplified or inspired it and he just happened to love being the awesome, super friendly dude. Grammar be hard.
I've always been awesome. Everything you're seeing is I'm actually more awesome in real life. You're just getting a tiny little taste here on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes.
If you ever saw me in the grocery store or whatever, your jaw would just hit the floor. It's crazy how awesome I.
This is true. Yeah, I agree. I think he's just that awesome. That's what Crystal says. She's in your corner. Me too.
My face is so red right now. It's crazy. You guys are too kind. I don't know why you're being so nice to me.
Okay, well Sneakers8B says your Canadianness is very prominent, but I don't see it. I don't know what he's talking about.
I am Canadian, no dude about it. And you know what it is? People often say that it's when I say mouse. They can hear it when I say mouse. It's apparently like I knew you were Canadian the moment you said mouse. And hear it. Whatever. You don't hear your own accent, right? Like,
no.
You know? Like you sound to like Aiden to me. You sound like an exotic a character from like a fantasy series or something. You got like the most beautiful speaking voice and accent. I could just listen to you talk forever. And to you, it's just probably just like boring regular talking.
Just like, normal voice. But, yeah, this is just voice.
You could be a character in a video game, like a fantasy game that I'm playing, and you would fit right in. But to you, it's just boring normalness.
Mm. Yeah, I heard a South African accent where was it? I think it was in a game. I was like, that's South African. Yeah.
So hang on. In your part of South Africa, does everybody just speak English? I don't understand. Is that like the native language there and most people just speak that?
So it was actually cool. I asked Russ a similar question about Hawaii because him and Crystal were chatting and I was like, you guys need to educate me because I thought I knew what Hawaii was all about, but I was completely misinformed. So he gave me a whole thing. So South Africa has 11 official languages. So when apartheid was ended and the new government came in, they were like, we need to acknowledge everyone. So there's 11 official languages. English is not the most spoken language. There are a lot of...
Is it Afrikaans?
Afrikaans is very... English is the official language of business and that sort of thing. So that's kind of the understood thing. If you're running a business, kind of switch over to English. Afrikaans is more widely spoken than English because we have... So you've got the white Afrikaans community, but then you also have the... this is a bad word in North America, but this is a whole culture, is the colored community. They speak their own sort of dialect of Afrikaans. So there's that whole thing. So there's a lot of those people who speak that. And then there's all the local languages like Xhosa and Zulu and Sotho and Tswana and all those languages. And then those languages together make the most spoken languages in the country. Yeah. That was
okay, so if you go over to your neighbor's house to ask for a cup of sugar, are you speaking English?
Just give me a straight answer, Aiden. Yes. Yeah, I speak English.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But it definitely depends where you go, though, TechDweeb. We lived in Bloemfontein for a while, which is in the middle of South Africa. And if you walked into a place and spoke English, they would not speak to you. So it depends where you are. Yeah.
Mm. Well, in Canada, we have English and French.
French,
and, yeah. And I don't speak any French at all. But most Canadians have sort of a passable amount of French that they could kind of get by. If you go up to Quebec, which is our French-speaking province, and you go, don't just hang out near the border, but you actually go into Quebec, you'll be expected to be speaking French fully, basically. Mm. Yeah,
yeah, I've heard that. But so the little bit I know about Canada, when I hear Canadian, that typical, I'm Canadian, eh? That really sort of countryside Canadian accent. I almost find it's got a bit of an Irish mixed in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if there were Irish settlers in Canada.
Oh yeah, there are. How you doing there, buddy? That's more like East Coast Canada, Newfoundland, Prince Edward Island, New Brunswick, and it's definitely a lot more Irish influence over there. Mm. More inland, it would be it would basically just sound like Americans when you're more inland. But you can always, whenever somebody's from the East Coast, you can always pick it out at their
that
in their
strong
accent.
Canadian twang. Yeah, mm.
Yeah, yeah. I guess yeah. Yeah, that would be probably if you were to do an impression of a Canadian, you'd probably be doing an East Coaster, I think.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. Yeah, I definitely a bit of Irish flavor in there.
Mm. Okay, so I have one more. So the other viewer question that wasn't on the Discord was, what's your favorite dinner that your mom makes for you?
Hang on. Did you get that question from my mom? I bet you got that from mom.
I can either deny or acknowledge the identity
mom always
of
wants
the
to know.
Caller.
Oh, that's got to be from mom. I'll answer it. But my favorite meal is the one that I can smell at any time of the day, cooking away because it makes me remember that I have a mom who loves me and is making me a yummy dinner that I can't wait to eat. But also the answer is spaghetti.
Okay, cool. Awesome. TechDweeb, it's been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for making the time to see me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. And I wanted to mention, Aiden, thank you for doing this freaking show. Because the YouTuber world, the retro handheld niche is not a huge niche, right? Like it's not a huge thing. And I can't really think of any other content creator who is bringing us together and learning about, helping us learn about the people behind the channels that we're watching, the people behind the hands that are flapping around on our screens. More than you, like you're doing a service for us. So I mean,
thanks.
We on behalf of everybody in this community, thank you for doing this show, and
thank you.
Please keep doing it, and you're killing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I really do. And yeah, thanks to everyone for watching and for supporting the podcast. It is growing little bit by little bit every time I post one. So thank you so much, and we will see you in the next one.
I'm Tech Dweeb. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.